than Mr. Murphy.
Well, I didn't see much future when I left the Christian Brothers school. So I waved it goodbye with a wistful smile, and I left the girls of June. And sometimes when I'm reminiscing, I see the prefabs and my old friends, and I know that they'll be changed or gone by the time I get home again. And I wish I was under and 17. Yes, I wish I was under.
Now, you know, if I'm... Look, I play this anyway, as you know. N17 from Tony McKay, because I just love the version. And I often think about the idea of arranging and what it's like to take a song and turn it into something completely different, which is one of the great abilities of Mr. Gavin Murphy, who's on the line down in Prosperous. Gavin, good morning to you.
Marty, good morning. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's a great pleasure for me too, because I'm loving what you've done with that. But I love the idea of being able to take a song, take a tune, and kind of just do something radical with it, which must be a great joy to have the freedom to do it, obviously the talent to do it. It must be a gorgeous thing to achieve for you.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the talent now, but the freedom, we're like kids in toy shops, really. Anybody who is lucky enough to be able to, you know, to write any type of music where you're kind of giving free rein, you know, especially with a bunch of musicians like an orchestra.
Yes.
You know, so it's always, we're like kids, we're like big kids, so I'm always trying things out and pushing things, pushing the boundaries a little bit where I can, you know. But I mean, like, these things are always such a you know, a group effort. And to be given, you know, a song, the source material is so good.
But that's
it was great. And it was a great platform, the New Year's Eve show. And actually, the guy who had the idea to do it was Darren Smith from Kite Productions. He rang me up and he said, I have this idea about this song. Do you think I'm crazy? And he mentioned that he wanted to do some video calls from around the world. And so I said, look, give me 15 minutes and I will send you back a little demo of what I have in mind.
Yeah.
And I put the phone down, and of course I had nothing in mind, so I got to work on it. And then I sent him something and he came back and he said, yeah, that's going to work great. And obviously, you know, Tolo put her heart and soul into it.
She was wonderful.
In fact, she was so much better than I... You know, I figured it was going to turn out, to be honest. You know?
Really?
She was wonderful.
No, she is, and we chatted with her the other week, and she's so enthusiastic and so excited about where this might take her. She's such a talent. She really is.
I mean, her journey's just starting, really.
In
so many ways. Yeah. You know, but she was lovely. You know, I try to always speak to, you know, artists who I work with before I arrange anything for them, just, you know, to check things like tempo and key and things are very comfortable, and give them an idea of what I have in mind, because it's important if they're going to be connecting with it and singing it, and it has to feel right for them too, you know. It has to be the right thing.
That's right, because you might have all these ideas, but she's got to be open for it.
100%, yeah. And so I sent her a little demo, I just sent her a demo, just a piano demo of, you know, I had this clarinet idea in my head that was taken from the original, and she came back and she said, look, I'll sing something for you and tell me if you think it's okay. And she sent it back and she sent me a little message saying, do you think it's okay? I said, look, it's fantastic, you know. Just keep going, you know. She sent me the first verse and she was a little bit, you know, is this kind of what you had in mind? And
yes,
it was wonderful. It was lovely, you know, and she sent me a thank you and all that.
But isn't it something when somebody is that good and kind of doesn't think of themselves as that good? It's actually very endearing.
Yeah, it is. And I find, you know, usually the people who I meet, I'm lucky enough to meet and work with, the really great ones are like that.
Yes.
You know, it's all yeah. about the music. There's never there's great humility, and I think we're very like that as a nation anyway.
Well, that's very true. Well, listen, you work with the RT Concert Orchestra. We all know that you've been working with them for an age, and it's great because John Lennon is your man. I know that. Sorry, I'm a McCartney boy. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
I'm a McCartney boy.
So am I as well.
Well, you can't not be, in fairness.
I mean, when you think about McCartney, his melodies, McCartney was so much more romantic in a way than...
Yeah, but
like, when you think of a song, like, one of my favourite albums of all time is Revolver, and when I think of the tunes, and from when I was a kid, you know, but McCartney's tunes, like, Here, There and Everywhere, you know that, that melody he had? You know, just that... And this bit here, you know, where he goes... You know, it's steeped in American music. It's steeped in the American songbook. He must have been listening to that stuff when he was
a kid. There's no question about it. But dad sang. His dad, isn't it true? His dad had all these old show tunes that he used to play at home when they were growing up.
Right?
Yeah. So his dad was into all that. So it was it was kind of there, do you know?
For me, you know, Tchaikovsky wrote some amazing melodies and tunes, you know, but McCartney did as well. When you think about what the way that he writes, when you actually get to, and this is why I'm so lucky, I get to analyze these people's music to break them down and to work out, oh God, what's he actually doing there, you know?
Yeah,
and that was always a thing when I was a kid. I'd always be interested in what was going on behind the singer in the music that I was listening to.
I remember, because I love all sorts of music, but I'm particularly taken with singer-songwriters, always have been. And Jimmy Webb's writing has always excited me. An incredible lyricist, because talk about romantic lyrics, but the arrangements on his music, it's phenomenal. And full
Absolutely,
of big
yeah.
orchestras. You think of Up, Up and Away. He was only a young fella. And all these things. It's astonishing.
Yeah, and MacArthur Park, you know, what an amazing...
The ludicrous piece of music.
Yeah.
Wonderful at the same time.
Yeah,
you know?
We could talk about music.
We are. We're getting carried away now. We could be here. This is our special for next New Year's Eve. But anyway, I could talk to you about that off the record.
But look,
in the meantime, let's talk about some of the stuff that you've done with the RT Concert Orchestra. Now, Conor McKeown, right? Now, Conor McKeown is, I think, one of the great singers we have in this country. And we have had him, when we were allowed out, we would bring him to the ploughing championships. I swear to God, he'd come down with his big band and we would have them at the ploughing and we had the greatest crack. But this guy is so good. And you've worked
amazing.
With him.
I know, he's an old friend of mine. He's he's really old.
Oh, I didn't know he was an old friend of yours.
Connor and myself are buddies for a long time. In fact, we wrote an album together, that the RT Concert Orchestra. It was his first solo album and the orchestra played on it, actually. This is probably 10 years ago now.
All right, I was only in short term.
Beautiful. Yeah. But no, Conor is exceptional, and he's one of those guys, he doesn't know how good he is, but
he doesn't.
I mean, he's a working musician as well. He has a band and he goes out and does all kinds of stuff while he was, you know. But he's also from a family of great musicians as well. His brother, Stephen, is a wonderful film composer. I don't know if you've come across Stephen McKeown,
yes.
Conor's older brother, and like really very talented.
Yeah, and one of the things you did was Beyond the Sea. You did with that.
That's right. The kind of Bobby Darin version of that.
Oh.
I mean, that's Conor's genre. He can sing anything, but he's so very comfortable in that style, isn't he? He can swing
He can.
He's great.
And what did you do with it? Just before we play it, what did you do with it?
Well, you know, it's. I mean, all these songs are a nod to the original orchestrations on the original versions of them. To be honest with you, you know, so it's swinging away. I think there's a solo. There might be a trumpet solo in the middle of Beyond. I just don't really remember.
Yeah.
There may be something in the middle where there's a trumpet or trombone solo, I think, remembering that.
And do you study the lives of these guys? I mean, would you have, you know, I don't know, the biography of Neil Hefti or Nelson Riddle and these guys? Do you know?
Well, first of all, I have all their books. But I mean, the guy who amazed me more than anybody was Jack Nitzsch, who was Phil Spector's guy.
Yes.
You know, and he's the guy who came up with all this stuff.
Not Dr. Spector at all.
He did. No, it was Jack Nitzsch. You know, really, really interesting guy. And then he went on to work with the Rolling Stones and done all their orchestrations. He was a real rock and roller. But like a lot of these guys, he didn't really get the credit. He, you know, Spector got all the credit for all those riffs and
those motifs.
But Jack Nitzsche was a huge part of all that writing, you know.
It's amazing, isn't it?
So, yeah, I'm amazed by... I'm just amazed how these people work and how they actually got through. People like Quincy Jones got through all those
Quincy
charts.
Jones. Well, I mean, Quincy Jones is just beyond compare.
It was said that he had written... on the way to Vegas with Sinatra on a plane, Sinatra was talking about Fly Me to the Moon, and that he wanted to do a version of it the next night... opening up in Vegas, you know.
The Sands,
so
I think.
Was it the Sands?
I think so.
Quincy Jones went and he wrote it that day. He wrote it that night. that version of, you know, with the one that we all know. That
that's right, the arrangement, yeah. Because it's completely different to the other one.
It's completely different.
Completely different. The other one's very kind of quiet and lazy.
Yeah, and I've actually seen the score of it. I've actually seen the handwritten score of that. And the way he directs the band, I mean, he knows. I mean, for the drums, he didn't write a drum part. He just wrote... pocket. It's just got to be in the pocket, you know? And it really, really... Quincy Jones always had the most amazing musicians in his band.
Yeah, you should read his book, by the way. It's an astonishing read.
Is it really?
But it's and it's not... Some people might say, it's just a load of names. That doesn't matter. It's how you're with these names and what happens with them. And when you're talking about the Sands and Sinatra and Basie and all these people, I mean, it's just a whole other board. Listen, Beyond the Sea, if we don't play it, we'll have no program. This is Conor McKeown now. It's Gavin Murphy's fault. Charles Trenet and Jack Lawrence, Beyond the Sea.
Beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me. My lover stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms I'd go sailing. It's far beyond the stars.
I love that, Conor McKeown. Now, listen, the other great thing that you've done, Gavin, is you had huge success with Celtic Woman when you were away in the States and stuff, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Celtic Woman show is a bit of a phenomenon, actually, Marty. And, you know, it wasn't started by me. I can't take credit for that. It was started by a really great producer and arranger called David Downs, who would have started that show 15 years ago with the help of quite a few other people. But Dave was an amazing talent. But yeah, I was involved for about 5 or 6 years and lucky enough to record in a lot of great studios and 5 or 6 albums with them in TV shows for PBS and a great bunch of people and lovely ladies in the show as well, you know.
Absolutely. And you've worked with and you're currently working with Chloe Agnew on your latest
record. Of course, well, Chloe sang, I think Chloe sang a couple of times. She definitely sang Perhaps.
Doris Day.
Another amazing singer.
Absolutely.
Right?
But she also did All I Do Is Dream of You.
That's right, from Singing in the Rain.
From Singing in the Rain.
Yeah, that's right.
Chloe, again, is one of these people, it seems to me, who she's got a really good voice.
She has an amazing voice, and she's been singing professionally since she was probably about 14 or something.
That's right.
Like that,
that's
know?
Right.
Yeah.
I think her mommy used to bring her. Her mommy used to bring her. Her mommy used to bring her with the plastic bags and her sister.
Well, her mommy had an amazing voice too. You know,
absolutely. Her mommy.
Really.
Her mommy's voice amazing, and let's face it, her dad as a musician, you know, incomparable. The great David Agnew. He's fantastic.
He's great, and he's great fun, Dave, you know?
He is, yes.
He's great. In his head, he's still 18, you know? And I love that.
I know that, yeah. You know? But isn't that lovely? And you work with him, sorry, you work with him in the concert orchestra, too.
I work with him quite a bit, yeah. No, he's lovely. He's a lovely guy.
He's a gentleman. But anyway, all I do is dream of you. Did you change much on this, or did you let it be, or what?
Again, it was more of a nod to, because of the way that it was put together, it's more of a nod to the Michael Bublé version,
yes.
Which would have been probably orchestrated by Bill Ross, William Ross, I'm sure you,
yes, of course.
You came across,
yes, yeah.
Another
yeah.
great arranger. So, yeah, it was more of a nod into that direction, really.
Well, then, let's have a listen. This is All I Do Is Dream of You with Chloe Agnew, and it's the RTÉ Concert Orchestra, of course, and Kevin Murphy doing the arranger. I'm chatting with Gavin Murphy this morning. Gavin, I have to say, the long list of people that you've worked with, and you've worked with my great hero, Van, of course. You've worked with a whole bunch of people, Julian Lloyd Webber, of course, who is no stranger to Lyric FM. Which area do you like the best? Or is it all about the person and the relationship or the mix? How does it work? What is the area that you like best, or are you just happy to go with whatever opportunity comes? And
you know, I'm just amazed that people
giving
want
you
to
political
work with
out
you,
here.
Really.
Yeah.
You know, so my musical taste has always been incredibly varied, actually, Marty. Probably like yourself. I listen to anything, and if I like it, it doesn't matter what genre it's in. So,
true.
You know, I'm lucky to have worked with people like Van, who, you know, when you think of what his output has been over the years, it's just amazing. But, you know, I grew up listening to all kinds of stuff from the Beatles to, you know, Simon and Garfunkel,
sure.
You know, Ella Fitzgerald, all that stuff. So it's, my taste is varied, and I'm lucky to be able to work with all these people from varied, you know,
that
backgrounds.
That is fantastic that you can.
Yeah. But I mean, some of the Irish, like, you know, the Sean Keens and the, you know, Zoe Conways and Emer Quinn, I mean, you learn so much from these people.
Well, you know, of course
you're working
do.
With them, but it's just, you sit in the room with Sean Keane when he's playing the pipes or singing, and it's a lesson in music, you know? It really is.
You weren't involved, were you, when he played at the concert hall?
Well, I arranged his album, and I arranged the music for that show,
but
that was a great show.
One of the finest albums that we have come across.
Gratitude is a great album.
Oh, it is a beautiful album. But to see him on stage singing, and then, because we were there, and he comes out with the pipes in the middle of Shenandoah.
Amazing.
And your heart would be broken. Like, the guy is such a talented man, and yet he can do a fireside chat online, which he's doing apparently every Sunday.
That's right, with Mr. Broderick,
With Mr. Broderick, and like, there could be four people involved. Like, it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's
Sean is incredible, Marty.
He
you
is,
know, before we recorded his album with the concert orchestra, we went in to do a couple of days with, you know, like pre-record some rhythm section, just a band, before we went in to do the orchestra, just to pre-record that. And he came in and he was sitting in the control room and we were inside playing, putting down some tracks, and it was sounding really good. And I could just see that he wasn't comfortable out there, you know.
Yeah.
And I went out and said, "Are you okay?" So yeah, we can. So why don't you come in and sit in? And he needs to be in the middle of it all, you know.
Right.
He just needs to be in the middle of music. It's such an ingrained part of who he is, you know.
Yeah, but it's the real musician coming out, isn't it, that he wants to be part
of the real deal, isn't he? You know?
Oh, he is the real deal. Hugely talented. And again, we play him so often. The other thing just to say, by the way, you didn't conduct that concert, did you?
No, I think Dave Brophy.
Oh, Dave Brophy
conducted.
Ah, yes, Dr. Brophy. He would have been out.
And actually, I'll tell you about something about Dr. Brophy you wouldn't know is that Dr. Brophy's an amazing arranger and composer, but you'll never hear it from him. You know, if you've ever heard any of the stuff that Dave has written, it's ridiculous. You know,
but is it not recorded, surely, Kevin? No.
Well, no, he hasn't got there. I don't. You know, he hasn't got there. He needs to do that, but
because we've loads of tape recorders in here, there's no reason, and he has access to a very fine orchestra.
Well, he certainly does. He needs to. Yeah. But people know see him up there waving the stick and doing that because he's so good at that. But
he's
a wonderful arranger and composer as well.
But speaking of which, I mean, you're throwing the compliments over to him. Let me throw one back at you. We should remind people you conducted all these tracks we're playing as well.
Well, I did, yeah. I did, yeah.
So, I
sort of feel more comfortable kind of conducting stuff that I've been involved with writing, you know?
Yeah, because you know what
you
want it to be.
Yeah.
You know it's coming.
You're familiar with it, I guess.
Listen, talk to you about Miss Evans. Tell me about Miss Evans now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with Lucia Evans, but I came across Lucia 20 years ago when she came and sang a song on a TV show that I was involved with.
You were a star.
And she sang, I think it was a Dusty Springfield song or something, and she just blew me away. I mean, you're gonna hear. I don't know what you're gonna play from her. I hope
the first time ever I saw your face.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna get a big reaction to this, Marty. That's all I can say, because she is just exceptional. You know, I mean, I don't use those words lightly. You know, she really is something quite special. You know, and such a lovely, lovely person. And it was. I remember with this song, we spoke about it over the phone, and she said, "Look, just keep it very, very simple and sparse." And we decided to just use string orchestra on it, and rhythm section, which is just, you know, little brushes in the kit. So very much, very subtle arrangements. So it was all about the voice, pretty much like what we were thinking about with the N17 song for Tolu.
Yeah.
So it's a very sparse arrangement. But you want to hear what she's going to do with it. She's incredible.
And let's be honest about it. To take on The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face, thinking Roberta Flack.
That's right.
And whatever, you know, because it is such an iconic song, and Roberta Flack's version, everything is compared to that. So
that's right.
You're, as well as it, you're taking a leap of faith here, but that's fair enough too, because you clearly have great faith in her abilities. Didn't she do didn't she do an Irish dancing show? Didn't she do...
She did a show by another great composer, Brian Byrne.
Yes.
Which I think it was... it's right. Called Heartbeat of Home.
There you go.
And again, amazing show by the producers of Riverdance, I think.
That's right,
But Lucia was the lead in that show. And she was incredible in that too.
All right, well then,
great talent.
Well, we're going to hear that now. Listen, thank you so much, Gavin. I've really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you so much.
Now I have a few ideas, but I'm not going to say them on air because if I do, as has happened some time ago, it'll disappear out the window. But anyway, anytime you want to have a conversation, I have a couple of ideas that would be lovely to try, and maybe we could do something. I'd love to, because
that sounds great to me.
But it's like you taking a chance on this, and you're kind of saying, here's an idea, and you go, and you've got Connor. The great Conor McKeown, and you've Chloe Agnew, and now Lucia Evans, and you go with something like that, and it's kind of what you do with what you have and your abilities. You've got an orchestra, you've got this great organisation, and a presenter who's very reasonably priced. I think there are many things that we could do. was that great line? The famous line. The great line. We can make great music together. Wasn't that the great famous line? Listen, Gavin, you're a joy, and congratulations on your great
thank
work.
You so much, Marty. It's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Really enjoyed it, and keep safe and warm in Prosperous, and may you continue to prosper there. This is the first time ever I saw your face. Lucia Evans, Ewan McCall's great old song, and Gavin Murphy, thank you so much for talking to us today. God bless you.
Okay, take care, Marty. Thank you.
I thought the sun listening to Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM.